From the inside of Ideal Collaborative, this is the Optimal Human Health Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Optimal Human Health Podcast. And today, all three of us are on. We've got myself, Coach Jake. We've got Rosanna
over here.
And Josh. What's up?
What's up?
So what were we just discussing before we had to adjust the mics? What's the youngest you can date? Obviously, 18 is legally correct.
Yeah, but
so we're going to observe that law.
Yeah.
Off of that, it's half your age plus seven. So we determined that.
Yeah, and I'm sitting at 24, and I'm, you're at 21?
21, yeah.
What are you at, Roseanne?
Roseanne, you'd be. I think is it different for females?
I don't know. I would assume it's not.
Think so,
but I mean, we are sexist towards men in our society. So,
mine's like, I don't know. So how do you do it?
It's half your age. So how old are you right now?
53. Let's just say 54 because I'll be 54.
Okay, so we'll say
25 to 27.
Okay,
plus seven.
34. Josh, look at that.
Right up your alley.
Hi.
There you go.
Hire office mate.
Is that what you guys decided?
That's
sure.
So pull weird. Together?
That took a turn.
It did. All right. Welcome to the Optimal Human Health Podcast.
My mic just went.
So we were also talking about the maturity levels on why that works, right?
Yeah.
Because a 24-year-old female might be just as mature as a 34-year-old male.
True.
Because Jake was talking about how 21 is too young for him, but in theory, it's probably spot on for his maturity level.
Yeah, I'm a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you guys standing? Should I be standing?
I'm standing because I don't want my hips to lock up. I've been doing this for like a week now.
Yeah, I'm standing because I'm tired of sitting.
Mm. I'm going to sit.
You guys should get a standing desk over there.
Yeah. That's the talk.
For those of you that are listening to this and you sit a lot during your day job, your hip flexors can get really tight and can cause some sleepiness in the glutes. And then when you go to try a squat, it messes everything up. So why not switch it up and do a standing desk every now and then?
That's where lower back issues come from as well.
Or at least get
so
up
that's
every
why
hour.
We have most of you guys getting the couch stretch for the majority of our mobility work we do at the end of class.
It's my favorite stretch.
So let's start off with a few announcements. Before we get going, Friday Night Lights is this evening. 19.3, the workout came out. It is 200 feet of overhead dumbbell lunges.
It's just a fucking doozy.
Followed by 50 box step-ups with the dumbbell and 50 strict handstand push-ups this time and ending with a 200-foot handstand walk. There's a bunch of scales off of that, but they're not that special. They're actually much better than I thought they were going to be. So I'm really happy about that. I coached the class this morning and I thought it went really, really well. We have a rumor that Brian may or may not be at Friday Night Lights this evening. So don't hold your breath because he's going to try. But we'll see if that happens. He's got the twins. Remember, those are the two that come first. And Katie also comes first. So make sure that you guys don't get your hopes up. But he might be here. Happy surprise.
Yeah, her nickname is no longer Preggers.
All right. Any other?
It's Katie.
Do you guys have any challenges just coming Katie. Up? Anything like that? We got to mention. I think we're good there. No. You can talk to the
not
microphone.
At this point. We're just going to encourage people to jump on the nutrition bandwagon.
Okay. We are getting a few more people doing that right now. I feel like I've seen a few people talking with you guys actually more than we've had in a while. So
yeah.
I think it's a good sign. So I think that's a good lead-in, good segue into today's episode. Did you guys want to talk about motivation and why? It takes so long for some people to actually bite the bullet and start nutrition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the things like I've been curious about is what's holding people back as to why they just won't like make
commitments.
Make the commitment, whether they're going to do it on their own, which is usually hard, or sign up for coaching.
I guess the question, have you ever had any issues with starting a nutrition plan or getting on board with that?
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then what was your dilemma on your commitments?
It's always been like, oh, I'll start tomorrow. I need to really reel in my nutrition. Oh, I know this is whatever is affecting me, sleep or maybe my workouts and recovery. I know it's based off nutrition. And I talk myself into saying, I really need to do something. And yet what's holding me back?
Mm-hmm.
And
nothing. It's just excuses.
It's usually like, I don't have time. I don't want to prep. I don't want to plan. I don't want to grocery shop. It's like, but it's stupid because every person that starts a plan and within a couple weeks, do they not say, this is so easy? Like, now I get it.
Yeah, I think you're right. The hardest part of that is just to start, right?
Yeah.
Like with anything, working out, nutrition.
It's exactly like working out.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think it also has something to do with ego as well. I think initially when people start, and even if they do get started and they're supposed to follow a set plan, there's a lot of trip ups and a lot of setbacks that go along the way. And they're just part of it because it's part of the process of getting more and more consistent with your nutrition. But when those moments do happen, I feel like we protect ourselves a lot by saying, you know, it's okay. It's just one cookie or it's something like that. We're basically going into a mode where we're trying to protect our egos and ourselves so that we don't self-destruct even more so than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So would you say mental flexibility is an issue for people with that?
I would think so. They see it as an all or nothing game.
Yeah.
And it's really not like you guys talk about initially, it's a process when we get started, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always talk about adding things in and never taking things away. And I think that's that people when they do it, because there's so many people that have tried fad diets and crash diets and things like that, they feel like they have to go cold turkey immediately into it, or they're not going to see the results they want to see out of it. And I think that's a big part of it.
I agree. Yeah. I think with our clients, I mean, the intention is like, yeah, if you can follow this plan to a T, great. But the reality is most people, it takes them a couple weeks. They're like, oh, I wasn't logging my food, or, you know, like my biggest bright spot for the week was I actually had breakfast every day. I mean, those little goals and hitting those are big. Those are big.
Yeah. Most people look at the huge mountain, right? Mm-hmm. The finish line or whatever, exactly. Rather than focusing on the small goals. Everything's a small goal. You should never focus on like the bigger picture. Yeah. I mean, having long-term goals is great.
Yeah.
But what really affects the outcome or your progress is those little itty bitty steps, right? Daily steps, like made sure I hit all my meals today or the quality of food or, you know, things of that nature. It's all about small steps rather than
that goes back to the principle. We've talked about it before of frequenting the podium. And that's good coaches usually do that with their athletes all the time. I try and do it as often as I can. Josh, I know you do it as well, but finding something that person can win at during what they're doing during a session or what they're doing with their nutrition is a huge deal for motivation. Cause it takes away the bigger picture. Like you talked about, it makes everything look smaller and they're focused on that as opposed to the end game.
Which yeah.
They eventually get to
when that needs to be flipped around. The small things are the biggest, right? Mm-hmm. That we perceive to be small, but those are the biggest.
Sure.
Compared to the actual, you know, finish line or outcome or whatever it may be.
Yeah. I get a lot of clients that'll say, you know, I have a glass of wine or have a beer every single night. And it's like, you know, that's something that
adds up.
Can work on. Yeah. Work on. And it totally adds up. But once they start saying, oh, you know what? I just save, you know, I only drink on the weekends, or at this point I'm only drinking if I go out. Like I never drink at home. I never drink alone. It's like, those are huge steps and they'll notice it too in their sleep. And then the way they eat too, because if you're drinking and then you decide you want crappy food.
Yeah. From my experience personally, like it's prioritizing, right? What's a priority in your life? And for a long time, nutrition had no priority whatsoever. I didn't care. But then, I mean, I had a traumatic experience to change all that. And it really reset my mindset and made nutrition a priority, because then nutrition actually affected my daily life, right? So, and that's when I shattered my ankle. I had to get back to doing what I love doing, right? Whether it be snowboarding, riding dirt bikes, or, you know, whatever, just moving. Nutrition helped me, I feel like it helped me bounce back a lot quicker.
Oh, I'm sure.
So that's when that traumatic experience made me prioritize nutrition over everything else. And I kind of stuck with it. But you also have those dips, right? Where mm-hmm. like you don't really care mm-hmm. or things get built up, stressors in your life start to take over, and that priority for nutrition starts to fade away. So
yeah. I think another thing too that stops people from doing it is the a fear of accountability or a fear of being judged, which is actually one of the most things that makes your nutrition program so successful, because somebody holding you accountable is going to prevent you from eating the entire sleeve of Oreos yeah. or doing something like that. But I think that that's kind of a – and those people that are afraid of that are the people that don't necessarily prioritize nutrition. And they'll be the people that come up to you and say if you ask them, how are you eating right now? Oh, well, not so good right now. You know, I'm eating pretty clean, but there's still like these things I'm adding in there. And you know that's not true.
Yeah,
at the same time, you're like, I can see really you. Vague. I know what you look like.
yeah.
I've
seen what you've eaten.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's another milestone or a hump people have to get over.
Well, I think a lot of people, I think coming into a CrossFit gym and most gyms, but a CrossFit gym in particular, where you can come in and if you've never done it before, you'll see like your improvement in all kinds of areas of strength and like all parts of the gym where you're like, oh my God, I'm doing so great. This is awesome. And you don't think about nutrition until things aren't improving anymore. Like you're no longer getting stronger. You kind of plateaued out.
Yeah.
But for a year, maybe two, you've like just been going great mm-hmm. and making progress. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm just come every day and nothing really changes. And then that's when you're like, that's why we try to encourage the coaches to talk about the nutrition. Mm-hmm. So if they feel like they're not making any progress,
the trick is
really
to get,
should look at that.
The trick is to get to the point where it's become so ingrained, it's in a habit that people just all of a sudden realize, oh, this is how I eat now. Mm-hmm. Like it's not anything outside of it. I'm not doing some special diet. Basically what diet means is it is a way to eat food.
Yeah.
Correct. So that's like getting to that point's the hardest part. There's kind of an ebb and flow of where, like you said, it's not really a big priority. You'll see that with a lot of athletes too. Like if athletes are cutting and they're trying to eat healthy throughout an entire season, if they're competing, as soon as the season ends, they'll start eating like shit just because they've been so strict for so long that they have to have that flip back so they can stay mentally sane so they can do it again, basically. Even though it's not really healthy for the body at the same time, it's just like a mental
quote. Well, not to say it's not healthy. There's healthy ways of doing it and unhealthy ways of doing it, right?
Correct.
So it's just how you manage it. Mm-hmm. Crash dieting, of course, is like the worst thing you could possibly do.
And oh, it is?
Yeah. Fuck. But
cutting 5-6 kilos in a day.
But we all know that, right? Sarcastically, we know that.
No, yeah, we know that.
But people still do it, right?
They do.
I got to make weight. Oh, shit. I miscalculated my calories, blah, blah, blah. I'm sitting, you know, 3 or 4 kilos over.
I'm too heavy.
Now I need to fucking cut water. I need to get rid of all this sodium in my body. And now I'm just like.
You feel like shit.
Now your energy level is like way down. You go to compete. You have nothing in the tank. But people still do it. And we know this. And it's repeated over and over and over. So I say that and you have a sarcastic comeback, but people still do it.
They do it all the time. I still hear it with clients like, I really just want to get in this dress, you know? And it's like, wait, don't you forever want to get in this dress? Not just for your daughter's wedding, but like forever. Like,
what are you doing outside of that?
Yeah.
Like really? You're just, that's the one goal. And then you're just going to let it all go again.
Yeah.
And then you've wasted all your time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be working hard for a little bit, why don't you just work hard for longer? You know,
I think that's the word.
Don't be miserable. You don't have to be miserable with nutrition. That's the thing.
Yeah, but
you don't have to be.
But when you use the word work hard, right?
What?
Like, why don't you work hard all the time?
Oh yeah.
Like that's exhausting for people, right? So word choice.
Okay, maybe not work hard.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But using that word choice with somebody, work hard all the time.
If you're going to be very focused about your nutrition for this 1 or 2 month span so you can fit in a wedding dress,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't you want to do that all the time and be focused? Yeah.
And for us, we've made that change, or we're very conscious of how we eat and what we put in our body.
Yeah.
And we forget about how that works for other
people.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. I think there's reasons why people are reluctant to pull the trigger to say, okay, I'm ready to jump on this nutrition thing.
The one thing, make some changes. The one thing that we have that we're very lucky, more lucky than most, is that we've chosen this field or this arena, gym, fitness, nutrition as a career. So it's something that comes with the territory of actually, you know, being a coach and things like that. You want to eat healthy because it's like your product basically. So we don't have to worry about saying having kids outside of, so not saying kids in general, but having other responsibilities outside of that, like a different full-time job or other things outside which complicate things much further for those people. I just think we're more fortunate.
But I think it's because there's just so much information out there. You know, that's where people feel like it's hard.
Everything on the internet's true.
Yeah. Because it's like, but what you still have to go to the grocery store to feed your family, whether you're feeding them garbage or you're feeding them whole foods. You still have to go. So it's just knowledge. You know,
what did you say on one of the earlier podcasts we had? The kids wanted all this shitty food and you were eating healthy. And then you were making two meals and eventually you just stopped making the other stuff and made like, what you were eating. So then
That's hard.
Yeah.
That's what's hard is when you're trying to accommodate everybody. No, you know what? If they're hungry, they'll eat and they're not going to starve.
Yeah. And as you bring up, Jake, as you bring up like us in the gym and we've chosen to be here and we're fortunate, but you also got to think about like clients. If you want to have a successful business or a brand name for yourself, self-promote, you're really forced to look a certain way, right? Like
that's a good point.
Like I look at seriously. Like I look at some of the registered dietitians that I've come across.
Yeah.
And some of them are overweight, right?
Yeah.
Like they might have issues or whatever underlying that I don't know about, but still, how can I take your word or your knowledge and yet you look
exactly
and like you don't follow your own, you know, advice.
I've actually experienced that with a couple of different CrossFit coaches I've met where they're a little bit heavier and they've talked to me about the fact that people don't view them as a good coach just because they're not fit.
And it's an image thing.
It's surprising. It's an image thing. People actually judge you. There's first impression right away. Oh, you're fat. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Holy shit. It's something.
Which is funny because while I'm doing my meal plan and I take my food places, people that don't understand like why I do it. I mean, I always have to explain it, of course. But the first thing I say is, how can I give nutrition advice if I don't look like I'm in shape and I eat right?
Yeah.
Like that just hurts my whole business, you know, sort of thing. And it's kind of funny because I look at an industry like where my dad is and he works on motorcycles all the time. And if it would be weird if you took your bike or, you know, to a mechanic and he didn't ride dirt bikes or he wasn't into it. He was just kind of doing the motions. Like, I don't know if I would trust that guy as much, you know, sort of thing. So I look at in the same aspect, you got to look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. And you got to practice what you preach.
Exactly.
For sure.
Especially in nutrition, you know, people really look at you and take credit just from your appearance.
Yeah. That's why we, you know, try to put up our transformations of our clients to show that they're progressing
and ourselves. That's what I'm working on right now, you know? So
it just doesn't make any sense in my head. Logically, it's like the, those who can't do coach, you might be able to tell me how to do it, but why aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, I think again, the whole process seems probably more overwhelming to people. And really it just has to be these little small steps. Cause I always tell my clients with the challenges, I always would like you to take away two or three things out of that. So your goal was to have 80 plus ounces of water every day. And you're like, oh, wow, you know what? That is one habit I picked up without fail. I always drink my water. Or I always have veggies with every meal I have now. So that's something I've incorporated. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm still having fries and burgers, but I'm also having, you know, veggies with that or whatever. So I always tell people, if you can take away a couple of good habits from those challenges and then move forward with those, you know.
I would say another barrier too, if we're talking about things that are holding people back, if somebody has a full-time job and they're traveling a lot and they're trying to do the nutrition, that's got to be more difficult than somebody
who's, that might be one of the top excuses that I hear.
Reasons,
is I travel a lot and I don't have time, but I'll do it when I'm not traveling anymore. Well, if you in a full-time job and your career, you know, for 20 plus years, you're never going to make that adjustment. You just kind of have to do it and suck it up, you know? So what are some ways that, or advice that we can give to people to motivate them to start? Like, what are the hurdles that you broke through to start your nutrition progress or journey or be mindful of your eating?
Well, for me, I was, you know, I've got some other hormonal issues going on, but I was just kind of tired of feeling like not right. Like my workouts seemed fine. But there was all these other things. I wasn't sleeping great. And what do I want to say? Constipation issues, like bowel movement stuff. I mean, all, and I was like, at some point you got to look at it and go, this isn't right. Like there's something not right here.
Right.
And you really have to decide, I'm going to take control of this, because if you're not your own advocate, nobody's going to advocate for you. Like right. more than likely your doctor is not, your, you know, your family is not, maybe they don't even know what you're going through. But I just decided, you know what? I'm tired of feeling not right. I mean, it's not like I couldn't get out of bed. It's not like there were times that in the middle of the afternoon, I'm like, I freaking need, could just crawl under a desk and fall asleep. Like I'm so tired.
Speaking of which, that's what Jake just did.
I just did that. I did it for
and she reason. Looked right at him and winked as she said that.
But, you know, so for me, I just decided, okay, I'm done. Like, I need to figure this out, because I can't, as a nutrition coach, I can't be helpful to other people too. If I'm, you know, again, like you said, I might look fine, but inside I'm not fine.
Yeah.
Like I got to, pull it together. So for me, I decided I'm all in, because I want to figure this out. Now, if I just wanted to lose, you know, 5 or 10 pounds, to make a weight class and to fit in a dress or whatever, then at the, you know, I just say, you know what? I really need to look at this. Am I drinking every night? Mm-hmm. Am I having a pint of ice cream, you know, throughout within a week, like look at these little things and make those little changes. And then again, add, you know, making sure I'm having vegetables, you know, enough, a bunch of them.
So with mine, I've told the story fucking number of times, but with mine, when I started in high school and I bought their Zone diet book and I did research on it. And this is right when I got into CrossFit as well. I did like their 52 ways to skin the zone or whatever the hell that was. So I was really into it. I was really into the analytical side of it. But what kicked me into that was the fact that I was getting picked on and I was fucking bullied mercilessly. So I think shame has,
how old were you?
I was like 17, 16. Aww. But it's, well, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, outside of that, when I've kind of fallen off the nutrition wagon, starting back up again, I've been very fortunate to have community members and people that I consider friends and colleagues outside that say, hey, you're looking kind of fat. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Then I'm like, oh, I got to fix something, because they're seeing it. Something else is going on. I got to fix this. So I think that's really good to have that community and the friends and the aspect of people just saying, you know, they catch you when you're actually down and go, why are you like this? Why don't you fix this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they care about you. If it comes from a place of caring, that's where it's good.
Absolutely. Because it might not be necessarily your nutrition. It could be that you're just so stressed out for whatever reason, whether it's your job or personal, or, and you know, your cortisol is all whacked and you're just not thinking about even eating, or, you know, you're just not eating. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not eating the wrong stuff. Maybe you're just not eating because you're so stressed out.
For the majority of my life, like as a teenager, like I was fairly skinny. Like I was, you know, 5'8", 5'9", 140 pounds when I graduated high school, put on 20 pounds as soon as I got into basic in the military. And then I kind of got chubby after that. But I was lucky enough to be in the military where I was forced to do physical activity when I didn't want to. But I mean, we would party harder, you know, like go out and get hammered and, you know, do all those crazy things that you hear about military people do. But I surrounded myself with pretty good, mindful people who thought about nutrition and worked out constantly. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, with our squadron and stuff like that, we were forced to do physical training, so PT, stuff like that, constantly. But deployments was a big one. Like you go to a place where you're isolated, where you can't have any alcohol, and you're forced to work 12 hours a day, and then on your free time, all you do is work out and eat like 3 or 4 meals a day that's provided for you. And like those situations, those meals weren't the greatest just because of where you're at, but you don't have any alcohol. You don't have those outside distractions to go party and stuff like that. It's strictly work, eat, and work out and go to sleep. That's what your whole focus is. So in that regard, I had the military as a crutch. But when I shattered my ankle, that's when everything kind of changed. And then from there, it's just been on my own, amplified more than just having the military, you know, motivate me to do better. So yeah, that's pretty much how my life has gone. I've had those ups and downs though. And I never really was cognizant of nutrition until I had a traumatic injury.
Yeah. So. I think that's the tough part is that like growing up, I mean, we didn't talk about it at all. And I was as a gymnast and like, it was always like, you know, hey, you know, and it wasn't just me, but girls, like, you need to lose 5 pounds or whatever. And it's like, it was horrible. Like you'd have to get on a scale with your coaches and stuff like that. It was really disgusting. But, you know, we thought dieting was tuna fish and saltine crackers. I mean,
I remember those days. Yeah.
We hope you're enjoying today's episode of the Apple Human Health Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our sponsors at Ideal Collaborative. Ideal Collaborative is a revolutionary new preventative healthcare model using the opinions and the expertise of various healthcare professionals in the fields of physical therapy, massage therapy, nutrition, biometrics testing, fitness, personal training, and sports performance to help you achieve your best life. For more information on Ideal Collaborative or the Collaborative Healthcare Model, visit idealcollaborative.com and check out the About tab on the main page.
In the morning with eggs and down like 5 cans of tuna.
God. But kids don't know about that at all. I mean, they don't, unless you give them food and then you explain what they have. Like my kids, you know, they're always like, why do you always feel like we have to have a vegetable? Like, you know, and it's like, you have to have a vegetable at every meal. Like that's the thing. There's something's got to be green on your plate.
Yeah.
And so they know that now. They where's the green, you know?
It's so crazy to think
but
about that awesome, though.
But otherwise, if you don't teach your kids, they don't know.
Yeah. But if you look at it, though, it's only within the past, you know, 100, 150 years where we started the industrial complex and started canning and processing food. Mm-hmm. But before that, that's all we had.
Yeah.
Was either meat, vegetables, or whatever you could scrounge up from, you know, outside wildlife or agriculture. Yeah. So it's crazy to think like that, that we have to force our kids or teach them how to eat when, like, you know, a century ago, there was no issue with food. Like, that's just what it was. That was your diet. That's the natural thing that to survive, you know?
Oh, my kids, their friends, they'll go to Burger King, get the croissant sandwich for breakfast and a Starbucks drink. And then they'll go.
Although I like croissants.
And then they'll go into Chick-fil-A for lunch. Oh, and, okay, you know, I'm like, this is their diet. Like,
That's how I'm assuming they have an open campus lunch, right?
Yeah.
They can go.
No, croissant sandwich. I make those homemade croissant sandwiches.
Those have to be good.
From Costco, and then you just put it in.
I would say almost never fail. Everything homemade is going to be better than.
And it's always better when somebody else makes it.
You know what's crazy, though, is I can't remember what that stuff tastes like anymore.
The fast food?
Fast food. Like fast food. I can't. Like, I'm trying to think, like, when the last time I had fast food was probably Subway, Chipotle, or Qdoba. Those are the three that I've had.
And that's not even really, I mean, it's fast food, but it's not really.
Yeah. I mean, it's the better quality of fast food. Yeah. It's not, like, great.
Yeah, I can't even tell you.
You're talking about, like, Big Mac McDonald's, or
yeah,
Burger King.
I never had, so I can't remember the last time I had that.
Yeah,
probably a year and a half ago, I think it was the last time I had McDonald's. And I did it after a meet because I was like, oh, yeah, fucking crushed that. I'm going to go get some. You know, this is the only place near my hotel. I haven't had this in a long time. I'm going to go get it.
In-N-Out. I lie. In-N-Out.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I forgot about In-N-Out. Yeah. All right.
I lied.
Anyway. So that's true. That's I got what did I get? I got a quarter pounder with cheese and some fries, which doesn't even sound good right now. And then I went back to the hotel and I got a Sprite. I don't ever drink soda.
Yeah.
So I was like going off the wagon. And I woke up feeling terrible the next day. It was so awful.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
Yeah. Yeah, but In-N-Out counts.
That's one thing I've been, I don't know, lucky. But I've never been in this. I guess as a kid I was. But as a teenager going into my 20s, I kind of just stopped drinking soda. I don't like carbonation. It hurts the back of my throat.
That's really.
Yeah. And
what about beer? Like
and too much sugar like makes me sick. And that's just how my whole life, I've never been a dessert person or snacks or sweet. Like I'll have it on occasion, but I've never craved it. And it's not something I enjoy. Uh-huh. And as far as beer goes, I kind of like a flat beer. I don't like
really.
Yeah.
Nitro kind of.
Yeah. Nitros are my favorite if I were to have a beer, but I don't want carbonation.
Yeah, so that's weird. I have a question. So Roseanne, are you the same? So if you ever like go without sleep or you get very stressed, do you ever crave anything specifically?
Huh? I don't know.
Totally different tangent. But I've noticed that if I do that like without sleep and I get towards the end of the day, like right before nighttime, I'll want to eat something sweet.
Yeah, I was gonna say I probably crave sugar.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because if I am stressed out, I'm not lacking sleep and I'm lacking the time to make something, which is stupid because you could just literally, if you have the goods in the fridge, you can just make it. I'll grab like a protein bar or RX bar or something, but that to me has more sugar in it, right? And so, that's where I head towards.
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where I've had at nights where I've had that, where I've had a long day of coaching and I haven't eaten during our 4-hour coaching block for barbell and I get home and it's like super late. I've had to actually force myself to eat what I have planned out to eat to finish that, just so 5 or 10 minutes later that thought or the craving goes away, just to counteract that.
And it usually
I don't want to fucking eat this, but I have to. I'm gonna be a total fat ass if I don't.
I have a weird sensation though. It's not like I crave a certain type of food.
Yeah.
Like I like to do it with peanuts or chips, but I like to shove a whole bunch of food in my mouth or my cheeks get up like a big chubby cheek squirrel. And I just like the sensation of my mouth being full. Like it's weird. But I'll do it with like chips, like are a really good example, like tortilla chips.
Uh-huh.
I'll like eat them and I won't swallow. I'll just keep shoving them. I my cheeks full.
Yeah.
Like I've done that. It's fucking weird.
If you leave it in your mouth, there's something about that.
I do.
That also sounds terrible. That's what you said.
I switch from chips. Yeah. I switch from chips to peanuts. So I like to do it with peanuts.
Peanuts in your mouth.
Oh, it's so fun. I don't know why, but it's not like I crave a certain food. It's just the sensation of my mouth being full.
That's funny that you say that because I actually love doing that with sunflower seeds.
Yeah. Do you really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Sunflower seeds are like a family go-to.
It's gonna be like a psychological thing.
I don't know.
It's gotta be.
Like I try to hold off as long as I can before I swallow, and then once I've swallowed it, my mouth is empty. I'm like, fuck! I want that feeling back. So I'll just start shoving shit back in my mouth.
That's what she said.
So that's my weird quirk, I guess. All
right. No, I've done that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no, seriously, the tortilla chip thing. That's so weird. I've done
But he can't do it in public because people think you're fucking weird and gross.
What are you doing? Yeah. Nothing?
Nothing.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I'm with you because a lot of times when I like don't want to eat or whatever and I know I need to, I'll just eat what I have planned and it's usually super boring, right? Because I just, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I do it after the fact. But usually I don't necessarily enjoy it if I'm... And it's not like I want to go get, a pizza or something. Because if I really wanted that, I'd go get one. But I am too lazy. And I'm not going to order a pizza because that delivery pizza is nasty.
Yeah.
Delivery pizza is nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. I associate it with cardboard.
What?
Cardboard.
Oh, cardboard,
like,
yeah.
The same thing it comes in on, like the cardboard box.
Okay.
That's what it tastes like.
Yeah, on that note, if you go to like a really good pizzeria that uses like fresh ingredients and you get it there.
And it's like wood fire pizza.
And it's wood fire pizza and it's actually like a lot of stuff they put on, it's actually not that bad for you.
Yeah.
It's still like a sheet of
Get me wrong. Like I love the shit out of pizza.
Yeah.
But like Domino's or Pizza Hut
stuff doesn't tempt me.
Blackjack
at all.
Little Caesars that just
ugh. It's all you just look at it and you feel gross.
Yeah.
It's all greasy.
Like when I think, like in your office, they set up a bunch of pizzas and you're like, I'm good. I don't need that.
There's cake in the conference room.
I'm going for the cake instead.
Oh, it's so bad though. But that's how we reward, right?
Yeah.
Let's have a pizza party. We've done a great job this week.
You made it another year. Here's your
No
thanks.
Here's your cake.
And then you're like stuck as the odd man out because you're not eating it. And people are like, what's wrong with you?
I would just rather
ask
you
a bunch of questions.
The $10 bonus. What? You know, instead of the plaque or the pizza party. Just give me the
just give me the $5 you're going to spend on that pizza.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll go buy a salad.
I would actually, yeah. That's a better incentive. I would take cash hands down. I keep looking at that scissor jack out the window out there. I want to hop on it.
What is it for?
I don't know. It's been parked there though. Right next to that white car that never moves.
Yeah.
If you've never been to our building, you take a look outside. There's a building tenant just down the block, actually literally down the parking lot from us, who has several cars parked out there that never move.
One white Toyota.
Yeah, and it looks like he's starting to sink into the asphalt.
Oh, he's for sure sinking. Because you can see, like, in some of these spots, they've already got, like, little potholes developing. But this car has been sitting there for, I would say, a year.
And that's the car you always park next to so you don't get hit.
Yeah, and it's a curse. I hate it that it's there all the time. But I'm also, like, I love that it's there all the time.
Yeah.
Because I know nobody's going to get in and out of it.
On one side of that.
Yeah, and I'm never going to get, like, a car door open next to it. So, yes, I chronically park next to it.
And then we've got the maroon Ford Raptor in the parking lot that takes up two parking spots every single day, and it's got Texas license.
He's got a buddy who now shows up and does this.
Serious?
Yeah, like there's some days there's two trucks out here parked like that.
I could see since this is truck and it's really nice, but still it's a dick move.
I don't know if it's that nice, but
you're taking up.
God, I don't notice any of that stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we stare out the window.
Roseanne, you got 5 minutes. You're gonna be out of here since you got your thing. I think it's a good end to the podcast. You guys got anything you want to add? Oh, real quick. So let's give them a roadmap to actually sign up for nutrition. If they're curious on how to do it, they go to the website.
So idealcollaborative.com. Okay.
They go to the nutrition tab.
Yeah, the drop down. Find the nutrition tab. Click on that. You scroll down the page. You'll see our prices that we have listed out.
The packages,
what they're included. You can set up a consultation with us. That's a free 20-minute consultation where we can talk about anything you want. And figure out what the best path is for you. Mm-hmm. Or if you have questions or you have a hard time finding that, I mean, you can find us on Instagram or send us an email or just
grab
show
us
up
at the gym.
Yeah, show up.
Just show up. Yep. Scroll down. Seriously, just book the nutrition consultation. It's the first thing you have to do.
It's free.
Josh and Roseanne are giving their time to you guys to give you an answer on what you should do or what they think you should do with your nutrition. So simple as that. Get on it. If you take your fitness seriously and you're paying for coming to the gym, the amount of times you guys are coming to the gym, make it worth your while and actually emphasize your gains and your changes and things like that by correcting your nutrition. It's a huge deal.
And my thing is the reason you should do nutrition for one, it's not to increase the lifespan, but the quality of your life, right? Happy, healthier, you're more productive.
Right.
You're able to take care of your family better. You're in a better mood. Not to mention, like, if you're somebody who is, emphasize on progression in lifts and stuff like that, nutrition is the way to go if you want to get better. And if you want to lose the weight, feel better naked.
Nutrition's
key. Exactly.
It's the hardest thing, but
it makes sex better. It makes you look better naked.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's just quality of life.
Yep.
We're here to help, man.
Sign up. All right. Just see us for 20 minutes. Just do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
All right. Where can they find you guys? Roseanne, what's your Instagram handle?
Rsmario. Smario 13.
Okay. Josh, what's yours?
I got two. Why am I forgetting?
Coach.j.sharp
on Instagram or Sharpie_546. Or you can find me on Facebook under my regular name, Joshua Sharp. Or you can send me an email, josh@cutthroatcrossfit.com.
I got all that too.
You have all that too. You lost your opportunity to mention it though. Now nobody's going to message you.
Yeah.
Good job, if you guys are interested in developing content or working with the Barbell Club, getting strong as fuck, hit me up at jake@valhalla-barbell.com. That's my email. You guys can also check us out on Instagram @valhallabarbell_
or
at Coach Jake Sterney. And as always, follow and share our @idealcollabhealth Instagram page.
Yeah. And if you have a topic you want us to talk about, let us know.
Yeah.
With nutrition, we're happy to. Kids, adults, injuries,
anything.
Whatever it is around nutrition.
Why you can't pull the trigger on signing up for a nutrition program.
What's holding you back?
What's holding you back?
What's holding you back?
Why can't you eat correctly? Why can't you get it up?
Or maybe you just want to know some new information, or you feel like you've been misinformed.
Correct.
There we go.
Yep.
There you go.
All right. That's going to be it for the Optimal Human Health Podcast today. Thank you guys for listening. And as always, if you like our content, please share, please like, please subscribe. And from all of us at Ideal Collaborative, this has been Coach Jake.
Wait. Coach Josh.
And Roseanne.
What's up?
Happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day.
All right.
Yes.
Big ups to all the women's out there.
Bam. Because
the women,
we rock this world.
Yes. You produce all life on earth, human-wise. Yes.
And we get you through life-ish.
Ish, yeah.
We keep you alive.
Love your mamas, your grandmas,
you keep
your
us
aunties.
Alive.
Yeah, they
sisters.
Gave you life. Guys, we just took 5 minutes and did our thing and left.
I think 5 minutes is pushing it a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
For some.
Yeah. Two pump jump.
All right. Later.
Okay. Bye.
Peace out.